I was sitting up here and I had gotten quiet, and I couldn't help but to hear angels behind me. Amen. Singing and praising the Lord our God. It's good to see everybody this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. And I don't know about you, it has been a powerful past week. We've had a good gospel meeting to where Stan came and just enlightened and put a stamp on what we had already been hearing. And I don't know about you, the more I think about this text, the more I see there's some stuff in here that we haven't went over. I could probably deal with this text for the next maybe 2 months at least. Because in this text here, the Apostle Paul would write some words to encourage the believer and to remind the believer of what's truly important on this time side of life. We just got through with this text, and if you look over here, your left, my right, or whichever, however that goes, it says, what's on your mind? And I don't know if you ever thought about as this year draws to a close, we got 9 days before 2019 will dawn upon us. And I hope and pray that each and every one of us will see 2019. But there's no guarantee. The only guarantee that I know of that when this earthly house of this tabernacle is destroyed, I have a promise from God that I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's what drives me. That's what motivates me to know that on this time side of life, I have a guarantee that you can't touch, neither can nobody else. Yeah. Only I can interrupt that guarantee. And he says, as long as I am faithful till he calls me from labor to reward, I will receive a crown of life that fadeth not away. Boy, what a guarantee. I got guarantees on my car, but they run out at about 100,000 miles. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But I got a guarantee that when I close my eyes, God has promised me a crown that fadeth not away. Yes. So if that. Check your pulse, because you might not be on this time side of life. It is really good to see everyone. I don't know about you. I've been having a hallelujah good time. See, y'all only got, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? I got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And all we've been talking about is what's on your mind. And you know, and it's good to be around folks that understand that my mind ain't always on Jesus. Oh, y'all didn't know that? Oh, no, I'm real. I don't know about you. I don't go around here pretending to be something that I'm not. Yeah. See, my mind gets bogged down just like yours. Yeah. I was talking to a Brother Hawkins just the other day, and he was telling me about some demons that had jumped on him. Hey, y'all don't know nothing about demons? Some of y'all probably got a pocket full of them, but not y'all. But we were talking about demons and how the demons had jumped on him. And I noticed when I went to Home Depot yesterday, one of them must have been in my pocket. Because it seemed like everyone I came in contact with was full of everything but Jesus. And then when I went back the second time, I ran into, I'm telling you, I don't know about you, my life as a Christian is reality. And I know sometimes Satan puts things in my way just to see whether or not I'm going to hold up to what I say I believe in. I went back the second time and I said, good afternoon to this young lady. And she said, good afternoon to me. And I said, it's good to see you. She says, thank you for just asking me that. And boy, what did she say that for? I said, you must know the Lord. She says, I do. I don't know what's wrong with all these other people. And guess where I left Satan? At Home Depot. Oh, yeah. See, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but the rest of y'all understand what I'm talking about. Satan has one purpose, and that's to destroy you. He has one purpose, and that purpose is not what you think he's out to do. He wants your mind, because if he can get your mind, he got everything else. If he can get you to surrender your will to his will, he has everything else. Y'all looking at me funny. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, the Bible says Jesus went to the wilderness to be tempted by who? The devil. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. It has been written of you. And what did Jesus say? What did he say? Y'all don't know what he said? It is written. And I'm learning that when you stay with what is written, you don't have to worry about anything else. I know there might come a time when I might not be able to holler and scream like I do. But I want you to know one thing. I'm not worried about where I'm headed. Because he's promised me that if I do what he says, I'll hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," Paul says to the believer, "think on these things." And in verse number 9, Paul would go on to say, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you." Amen. Powerful passages of scripture because, like Stan said the other day, Paul is having some problems because Paul is no longer free, but Paul is imprisoned. But in the process of his trials and tribulations, he ain't like you and I. You know, something happened to us, and what happens? What's the first thing out your mind? You don't have to say it. Whoa, Lord, you know how we cry, complain. But Paul is not like this because Paul trusts in the living God. And in the process of all the trials and tribulation Paul goes through, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, "I've learned that whatsoever state that I'm in, there within to be content." How do you get to that level to no matter what transpires, you're all right? See, that comes when an individual really knows Jesus. And I want to show you this morning that when you really know Jesus, you're not worried about the trials and tribulations you face in your everyday life. I mean, y'all had a hard time getting here this morning. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand, because you don't have to raise your hand, because the testimony has already been recorded. But I just want to take you to a higher plateau. 9 days left before this year is over with. And like I told you Wednesday night, I want to conclude 2018 with what I didn't do the whole year. I want to seek and save the lost. I want to keep myself unspotted from the world. But most important, I want to have a relationship with my God's people and with my God that tells the world out there who we really are. See, the world is looking for somebody. And guess who he's looking for? He's looking for us. He's looking for Jesus Christ to live inside of us and to proclaim the message that is from time past. Title of the lesson this morning, what have we received and what have we learned? In this text here, Apostle Paul writes some words to remind the believer, the things that you've learned, the things that you've seen and done in me. Paul says, now this is what you need to do. And so as we look at this lesson text this morning, I want to focus in on one word, honest. And I'm going to show you that in order for us to really understand what Paul is talking about, there are some attributes that we must possess as children of God. We must possess attributes that show the world who we say we are. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, "If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake," Jesus says, "you will find it." And then Jesus raises a question. What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Anybody ever exchange some currency? Oh, yeah, you do. You just don't know that you do it. You don't ever take a $20 bill and break it for $4.5 so it look like you got more. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But I want to show you this morning, there are some things that we have learned that as children of God, we ought to always keep in mind. And we should meditate upon these things every single day. As children of God, of the Most High God, when we follow and do what God requires of us. There are some things that we learn, we receive, and those things that we have learned, we teach them to others. My example of life is important, not only to me, but really to everyone that I come in contact with. James chapter 1 and round about verse number 25. James says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How do you stay unspotted from a spotted world? Colossians chapter 3 verse number 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things where? That are above. Set your mind, set your affections where? Things above. Because I'm learning the more you think about Jesus, the less you have to worry about down here. How many of us are worried about something from day to day? You don't have to raise your hand because I know you are. Because as long as you're in this, you're going to worry. But I'm learning that if your mind is focused on Jesus Christ, he helps you to overcome many of the obstacles that you face in your everyday life. And see, the only way you do that is you got to bathe yourself with certain things. See, what have we learned? I believe that we've learned that Jesus is the Son of God. That's right. And Jesus came for but one purpose, and that was to reconcile, to redeem man back to his Father. Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, God made man in his image. He made man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He told man, now I need you some helpmate. He made woman for man for what purpose? To be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth. And in the process of that, God commands man but one thing to do. You may eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, Jesus, God said, don't eat it. Don't touch it, for in the day that you do, you shall what? Surely die. But I don't think man understood that not only would you die physically, you would die spiritually from the Lord. Genesis chapter 3, God makes a way after man messes up in the garden. Genesis chapter 3 and round about verse number 15, God prepares Jesus to come in the form of a man to take away the sins of the world. What have I learned? I've learned that in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 and 14, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. What have I learned? I've learned that God loved me so much he gave the very best. And when you love somebody, don't you get him the best? Yes. You don't? Uh-oh. Because when you love someone, you will walk through muddy water, you'll climb the highest mountain because you love that individual. I love my family. So when it was time to go to work, no question in my mind. Got to work two jobs, three jobs to make ends meet. I work two jobs, get up, go. Why? Because I love my family and I will hurt you if you mess. Uh-oh. Christians don't do that, do they? Why? Because you love your family. But now my hurt now is to hurt you with the word of God. And church, and I want to encourage us as this year draws to a close, stop and take some inventory. See, you can shuck and jive me all day long, just like I can shuck and jive you all day long. But there's going to come a time that you stand before the judgment seat of God and you're going to have to give an account. I wish to pray to God that you could stand there and tell God how good a Christian I am. He's a good preacher. But guess what? You're going to be in the same line I'm going to be in. And you're going to be looking for the same thing I'm going to be looking for. God's mercy, God's grace. And so I want to encourage us before the year ends, stop and ask yourself a question. What's really on my mind? What's really been on my mind? Is God pleased with my service? And if he's not, repent and get busy. Amen. 9 days before the new year's, and as you take your inventory, ask yourself a question. What does God really think of me? See, what have I learned? I've learned that God sent the very best for me. That's right, and that's how I take it, very personal. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. God demonstrated how much he loved Stan. That's right. It's personal to me. In that while I was still a sinner, Christ died that I could be the righteousness of God. Only God could clean up somebody and put a Bible in his hand and say, God, you go preach the good news that I've saved you. See, you wouldn't do that, would you? Y'all quiet. Amen. But see, I'm glad I serve a risen God. God loves us so much because of who we are and because we are his creation. Romans chapter 3, verses 23. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. God prepared Jesus to come to reconcile man back to him. He had no pleasure in sacrifices of goats and bulls. Jesus said in Hebrews chapter 10, lo, I come in the volume of the books to do thy will, O God. Thy take away of the first that he might establish the new. That's right. And I don't know about you. I'm part of that new. And as a result of that, church, I can hoop and holler all day long because I know what God has done for me. And see, when you know what he's done for you, you want the world to know. Somebody this morning needs Jesus. Amen. Amen. Somebody this morning might need to repent of your sins. Amen. And I'm learning that before I close my eyes, I want to make sure I'm in the right relationship with my God. Because in the final analysis, Sister Harmon and my kids can only take me to the grave. I need somebody that is able to take me from the grave to eternity. And I know who that is. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I want to encourage us this morning. What have I learned? I've learned that Jesus came and took away my sins that I might have the right to the tree of life. What have I learned? I've learned because of my obedience to the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And because of my obedience through water baptism, God gave me the third person of himself. Yes. Boy, that's powerful. The third person. That's why when I went to Home Depot, I had to call on a third person. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all just gone on back to sleep. The third person, he gave me the Holy Spirit. And when I get out of the way and let the Spirit guide and direct me, guess what? The things that come out of my mouth will be things that will edify, that will encourage, that will build up everyone. That's why you got to keep him on your mind. Because if he's not on your mind, guess who is in your mind? That other fella, and he knows exactly what buttons to press. You ever been somewhere and the people are rude to you? You give it back to you, don't you? Gonna tell the truth, somebody tell the truth. Yeah, that's right. See, that's the whole thing about being a Christian. If you're gonna lie to yourself, don't you think God knows that? Yeah. Amen. Amen. So I stopped lying to myself. I want you to know that I was upset. But I realized that Satan was right here on the shoulder saying, you don't have to take that. The customer is always right. Bad. Come on, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But the customer is not always right. What's right is what comes from the Word of God. What have I received? Church, I don't know about you. I got a peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what I've learned. That's what I have received from God. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, verse number 6. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. And church, I don't know about you, when 2019 come into play, and as I take inventory over 2018, I'm going to have a peace to know that I've done what God says. And see, and I like God. See, he don't keep record. He keeps a record. But see, when I repent of my sin, boy, he said, your sins and iniquities, I will remember them no more. What am I trying to say? If you ain't done nothing this year, repent. And guess what? You're a brand new creature in the eyes of God. That's what motivates me. That's what drives me to know that the God I serve is not like human man. He forgives us. We have received his Holy Spirit. In the process of receiving that Holy Spirit, he gives us a peace that surpasses understanding. I've received some joy that most people just don't understand. How is it that you can be happy in the midst of trials and tribulations and be motivated and enthused to do what God requires? See, because it's not about the things I possess. Oh, yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, Look at your neighbor. Come on. Come. Look at your neighbor. And say to your neighbor, one day, you're going to leave here. Say it again, neighbor. One day, you're going to leave here. And when you leave, there will not be a U-Haul behind the hearse. What am I trying to tell us? I'm trying to tell us that one day you're going to leave here. And when you leave here, what are you going to take with you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Bible says, blessed are those that die in the Lord, for they rest from their labor and their works do follow them. When I leave here, I want the works that I put out for the Lord to follow me, because that's what I'm going to need in the day of judgment. I'm going to need some mercy, some grace, and some forgiveness when I fell short and then I didn't do. Boy, I'm glad God is not like me and you. I want to encourage us as this year draws to a close. These are some things that we need to think on. And I'm learning the more you think about these things and understand what God has done for you, church, the more life takes on a whole new meaning. Paul says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, he says, think on these things. I want to encourage us as God's people. There are some things that we need to think on. And you know, and I have this habit of when I see certain words that motivate me, that encourage me, and I want to remember what the Bible is saying, I use different type of acronyms. So I take a word and I'll add something to each word. And what that does, it motivates me. And so I've taken the word honest. And I've developed a little something that helps my mind to remind me that God needs honest folks. I ain't talking about no money. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about honest people that love him, that want to do his will, they're not afraid to stand up for him, that's not afraid to repent of their sin. Oh, y'all quiet. I know I'm on the right name. He wants honest individuals to be able to look people in the face and say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of a living God. I want you to know that he's alive and well because you can see him inside of me. That's what he's looking for. And if you're not able to say that, you need to ask yourself some questions. What do I really believe in? See, honest comes when an individual understands something about humility. That's right. I'm learning that humility is the key in our Christian walk. And the more we humble ourselves, the more we commit ourselves to the Lord, guess what? The more we'll understand what he really requires of us. Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exhort you in due time. Casting, not some of them, but all your cares. See, I know that God wants us to be humble and submissive, because I'm learning the key in Christianity is whether or not I can humble myself to God. You know, we have a hard time humbling ourselves to one another. Somebody say amen. 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 Because if we would humble ourselves to one another, we wouldn't have half the problems we have. Why are families torn apart? Because somebody will not. I know I'm on the right nerve. Y'all quiet. But see, I'm learning that when you get out of the way and allow God to make you humble and submissive, church, that's the key. And guess what humility brings about? Humility brings about obedience to God. Oh, yes, I'm learning that as the more I humble myself, the more I depend on God, the more I'm obedient to God. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Jesus set the example of humility and obedience. Bible said, although he was the Son, yet he learned obedience. How? By the things that he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obeyed him. See, Jesus understood what humility was. He understood what obedience was. And he was willing to sacrifice himself that you and I might have the right to the tree of life. And so if we want to be humble to God, if we want to be obedient to God, we got to first and foremost get out of the way. Amen. And I'm learning that when you get out of the way, God can use you. Yeah. God, the Bible said he gives more power to those that are humble. Did you not know that? He resists those of us who think we got it all together. Anybody in here think you got, never mind. You may not say it, but don't we show it when we think we got it all together. No, the Bible says he resists the proud and he gives more grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God that he might exhort you in due time. See, in order for us to really be humble and obedient to God, you got to first surrender your will. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. And see, and when we understand this and we understand our obedience to God, there's something else we got to learn. No other God before him. Anybody here got another God? Boy, every hand in here ought to go up. You know why? Oh, you don't have to say it. I know it. Because when he ain't on my mind, guess who's on my mind? Oh, some of y'all are real with me this morning. The rest of y'all just gone on back. But see, no other God before him. If you love anything more than God, Jesus said, you're not worthy of him. He that love father, mother, brother, sister more than me is not worthy of me. I love my family. But guess what? I love my God more than I love my family. You know why? Because in the final analysis, I need him. He don't need me. I better say that again because some of us think that God needs us. He don't need you. All we are is a lump of dirt with a bow tie or a dress on. You think he needs us? He don't need us. He said he can make rocks praise him. But you know, he wants us to praise him and he wants us to do it freely. That's why I'm excited. I'm excited because I know what he can do. I'm excited because I know that if I trust him, if I depend on him, there's not a thing in the world I have to worry about. I worry because I don't trust him. I worry because I don't depend on him. I worry because I don't really know him. Ooh, y'all quiet this morning. This might be the last sermon of the year. So I got both barrels loaded and cocked behind the desk here. So if I miss you on one, I'm going to get you with the other one. Why? So somewhere down the line, church, either we believe it or we don't. I don't know about you. I'm like the Apostle Paul. When Paul thought he was doing what was right, he persecuted the church, and he said he even brought it to destruction. But the God who separated him from his mother's womb asked him a question. Saul, Saul, why kicketh against the pricks? Saul, don't you know you can't do nothing with me? Some of y'all know it. And you know what Saul said, Lord? Boy, God, you don't think God can humble you? Keep kicking. Keep kicking and see if he won't humble you to obey what he said. And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? That's right. And Jesus told him, you're going to the city. And he's going to tell you what you need to do. Well, Lord, can't you just tell me? No. Why? Because the message, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, the message is in earthen vessels. You and I have a message to the world. That message is that Jesus came and died on the cross to save mankind. The question is, do you live up to the message that you obeyed? Those of us who obeyed from the heart of the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ and went into the watery grave of baptism, and now that you've received the Holy Spirit, have you been talking about the Savior? If not, you've sinned and you've fallen short of the glory of God. I know that's some hard stuff to take, ain't it? But if you're going to be honest with yourself, shouldn't you be honest with the Lord? Because he knows our heart. I want to encourage us to have no other gods before him. And you know what that does? It creates something in us. I'm learning that when I really have God first and foremost in my life, boy, it creates this. Ooh. Y'all gone on back to sleep. Eagerness to serve him. And it helps me to be diligent in what I believe in. Hebrews chapter 11 and round about verse number 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You notice I don't preach much about hell. You ever notice that? Those of y'all been around me for a long time, you know why I don't preach about hell? I ain't going. So why am I going to talk about something I ain't going? I'm going to heaven. And so therefore, my message to you and the message that I teach myself is if I'm going to make heaven my home, I have to make my calling an election sure. Isn't that what Peter said? Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things... Peter said, you're blind and have forgotten that you've been purged from your old sin. I know where I came from. Paul said, I was chief among sinners, our first mate. First mate, not second, first mate. I was almost as bad as Paul. But I'm so thankful that God can clean me up and put me on the right track. See, I'm learning that when you really understand humility, and you're obedient to God, and you have no other gods before him, church, there ought to be some eagerness about us. You know, we ought to come in here excited, shouldn't we? Yes, we should. We ought to come in here motivated. I'm motivated. But boy, you can go to a concert. You can go to a basketball game, a football game, and you don't even sit on your seat. You're on the edge. And you come in here with the Lord, and you can't give him half of that energy that you give to that other God. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Church, I stopped by this morning to encourage our hearts, but at the same time, I want to be like the prophet Ezekiel. God said to the man Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 33, I place a watchman before you. That watchman's job is that when the enemy comes and he sees danger coming upon the people of God, your job, watchman, is to blow the horn and warn the people. And if the people take heed and they die, their sins and iniquities, I will not require at the watchman's hand. I'm the watchman. But if the watchman sees danger coming and neglects to blow his horn, and the people die in their sins, their iniquities will I require at the watchman's hand. No, no, no. I got enough problems with the only two or three people inside of me. I ain't got time for you. No, my job is to warn you that Jesus is on his way. When is he coming? I don't know. But I know one thing. When he comes, it'll be too late to get ready. You know? Why? Where do you think they got all of these early warning signs from when disaster comes? Huh? You think man just thought of that? Huh? He got it out the book. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Rest of y'all going on back. God warns us that one day Jesus is going to return. He's going to return for a church that has neither spot nor blemish. Not the four walls, but the walls of our heart, our mind. He's going to return for those individuals, and he wants to know whether or not you're going to do what he requires. Humility brings about obedience to God. That obedience to God helps us to have no other God before him. It creates an eagerness in us. That eagerness is played out in our service to God. Our service to God gives us confidence, reassurance, and we trust in his promise. I know about you. I know where I'm headed. I know what he's going to do when he closes my eyes in death. He's promised me a crown that fadeth not away. And I want to encourage us as we look at and close out this series of lessons, whatsoever true, whatsoever things are honest, I want to encourage you to stop and ask yourself a question. Where do I really think on every single day? And you know, things happen to us every day, don't they not? Boy, ain't that, you ever been close to an accident? No, where you involved. Where it kind of raised the hair on the back of your, y'all ain't never did that? Oh, boy, y'all some blessed individuals. But don't it cause you to think about life. Ever seen life flash in front of you? Huh? Oh, young folks, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Just keep a living. You will. Just keep a living. Where your life flash in front of you, and then you raise some questions. Have I really done what God says? Yes. Anybody in here ever been close to death?
Yes.
And that close to death, I told you. I had prostate cancer, and I told my son, and I told him only, I might not come out. But don't weep for me, because I've done what God requires of me. I didn't even tell my wife. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it, but I laid in the hospital 6 days and 6 hours in surgery, 2 hour surgery. Doctor said he'd started to just close me up and just leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Had to call in another team of surgeons on top of the surgeons we already had. Mm-hmm. And when I got up on my feet, what did I tell you? He's given me a second chance. Amen. I ain't blowing it. I might have blew the first one, but I'm not blowing this second chance. I want you to know that he is here for one purpose, and that's to help us out of darkness into a marvelous life. Why play with Jesus, the author and finisher of your life? Either you surrender now, you know the old saying, pay me now. Pay me now, pay me later. You're going to pay God now, or you're going to pay him later. And I've decided to pay him now, so when later come, I can get paid. Okay. Oh, y'all don't hear me. See, if I pay him now, I'm going to get paid again. Okay. A crown that fadeth not away. Hope I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart. Paul in this text here reminds the believer, stay on track. The way we stay on track is we keep our mind focused on what's truly important. And I guarantee you, the more you keep your mind focused on Jesus Christ, the more Satan is going to hang out at your door. Maybe that's why we don't do it, because we don't want him at our door. Because when you decide to serve the Lord, guess who hears you? Satan. And he knows that if I can just stray you a little bit, I might can turn your whole life around. I want to encourage us. 9 days. 2019. Have you been doing what God requires? If not, repent. Body of Christ, I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to 2019 if he says the same. I want to hit 2019 running. I want to seek and save the lost. I want to make myself more available in doing God's will and not Stan's. Oh yeah, Stan got a will. And I have to remind myself that his will supersedes my will. How many of y'all got a will? Oh, go and raise your hand. You know you got one. Boy, y'all sitting up in here like y'all ain't got. Yeah, you got one. And how many times do your will supersede God's will? Almost every day, huh? Yeah, see, I'm honest with me. That's why I repent daily.
Amen.
3-4 times an hour. Amen. Come on, y'all. Why? Because I know I fall short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God, he gives me the victory. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 and 58 as I close. The Bible says, thanks be to God that gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. And then he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor not in vain in the Lord. I do this because I know one day he got a crown waiting for me.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, I may not amount to nothing down here, but I know one day I'm going to get my crown.
Amen.
I'm a priest down here, but you might not know it. But you do if you live the life that I live. Peter says that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into a marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Amen.
And I tell you, because he's forgiven me of my sins, I want to do all I can to help someone else out of darkness. I went to the hospital just the other day. There's a young man in there about 30 years old. He's probably younger than that. And I heard the doctor tell him that his heart is only pumping 10% of blood through his heart. And as I prayed with him, I had to reflect upon where I came from. This man is steeped in drugs and is almost dead. How long will it take us to realize that God has left us the power to overcome many of the obstacles? He's left us his testimonies. Anybody in here used to be a sinner?
Oh, yes.
Huh? Oh, y'all. Boy, I'll finish then. How many of us still sin? Oh, well, I got a couple people. But the rest of y'all, I know y'all perfect, so but just stay away from me, okay? But as I looked at this young man, I couldn't help but to be moved with compassion and realize, and I really recognize how much people need us. Oh, with all the defects and the faults that I got, I'm able to put them to the side because that man there was more important than my own life, because I realized that maybe just a kind word from Jesus through me, maybe just a holding of the hand and a prayer would help that individual make it through the day. Church, we have a responsibility. Amen. And I don't know about you. I want 2019 to be a totally different year for the church here in Apple Valley. What does that mean? That means everybody needs to be involved. Amen. If you ain't being involved, why? Why? And then I want to encourage us. Look at what we can do to encourage the body of Christ. Because the wisest man on the face of the earth said, a wise man is those that save souls. If you're here this morning, members of the body of Christ, and you've fallen short, I want to encourage you to repent and get on the right track. Those of you that have not obeyed from the heart the gospel, Romans chapter 6, 17 and 18, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The Bible says you must hear the word, Romans 10, 17. Must believe the inspired word of God, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. The Bible says you got to repent of your sin, Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. The Bible says you must confess that he is a son of a living God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Then the Bible says we must be buried in water for the remission of our sins. It is in the watery grave that God does a spiritual operation and wash away all of your sins. Acts chapter 2, around about verse 36 and following. When Peter stood before that hostile crowd, he said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. And the Bible says when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter says, repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, praising God and having favor with all the people. And that's not the one. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and they continue instead. That's right. You ought to know y'all's Bible. That's right. You ought to be able to say the same thing I'm saying. Not because I'm a preacher, because I'm a child of God. See, when you believe in something, can't you say it? Huh? Huh? How many of y'all believe in your name? Real quick. How many of y'all believe? Come on, y'all, work with me. How many of y'all believe in your name? Huh? Yeah? And when I say your name wrong, what would you do? You got the message. If I believe in the word, I ought to be able to speak the word. I ought to be able to speak as the oracles of God. Isn't that what Peter said? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplies, that in all gain God might be glorified. Peter says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you as some strange thing has happened unto you. That's right, church. I believe that he's going to save me. So he says you need to be baptized. You receive the Holy Spirit and he adds you to the church, which is his body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. If you're here this morning, need prayer. Anybody sick? Yeah, I got some sick folk. The best place to be is to have someone pray for you. Amen. And I know there's some things that we don't believe. The healing, that's another time. But we have the power, church. Amen. Now, don't misunderstand me. You go to the doctor and then you come see me and I'll lay my hands on you. That's in your Bible. Yep. James chapter 5, verse 13. The effectual prayer of the fervent availeth much. Amen. Any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on you. Anointing you with oil, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. It's in the power that we have as prayer, the righteousness that we have with our Father. Whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.